Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hey!
Sean Preece.
Hey!
And Tim Schwartz.
Hey!
Once again, we're here. Yes, this is Tech Talk. It's the technology show that's a bit like Theresa May's dancing. It's not very good, but it comes from a good place. Yes, hello, welcome to the programme. I am with you for the next hour, along with my trusty friend, Sean Preece is here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen. Very topical. I liked it. Well done.
Yes, well, you know me. I'm all about the news. Also, Tim Schwartz is here. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Sean. And hello, Theresa May.
Yeah. I don't think she listens, if I'm honest, Tim. I don't think she's listening.
But why not? She should be.
She should be, but she's a very busy woman.
That
she is. She's got a country to destroy, run. I have no idea which. Anyway.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, it's a tech show. We don't get controversial, so it's okay. It's fine. Right, so lots to talk about. And look, I want to start off by saying that I do not want to talk about Apple for the whole hour, because we're going to bore people to death with it, okay?
Good luck with
no,
that.
No, I disagree.
Well, I run the show and I don't care. So, we're not doing it. We're not talking about Apple for the whole hour. Because, you know, quite frankly, there's going to be so much to talk about. And I have big news about these two and what is going to be happening the day after the announcement from Apple. Oh, it's very exciting. Or it's just that we're going to make it sound really exciting, but it's not really that exciting.
Well, now I'm interested because I don't know what we're doing. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Doesn't surprise me, Preece, to be perfectly honest with you.
You got to show up to the pre-show planning meeting, Sean. You got to show up more often.
Well, if you're going to be ridiculous about it.
He does. The thing is, Tim, he does turn up, but you just don't notice because he's usually sleeping in the corner and doesn't pay any attention. And I'm not kidding you. Before we say go on this program, he's always the first to say, so what are we talking about? So
fake news. Don't listen, listeners. Well, do listen. Don't listen to him.
Well, Sean, you're going to learn a lot along with our audience this week as we get the show underway. Right, let's get right into it then. So Apple, great news. They've got an event coming up. Look, I'm not starting on this all show, right? Calm down. We will talk a little bit about it. Okay, just a little bit. Okay, we'll get into a little bit of it because Apple do have an event coming up and it is going to be amazing. Yeah, that kind of amazing.
Stay tuned.
Was that your best sound effect you had for something being amazing?
Yeah, that's kind of all I've got, if I'm totally honest. That's all there is. I don't have any more than that. That's the best you're going to get.
Okay.
But yeah, essentially, what we're going to learn is that Apple will be bringing out, we think, 3 new phones. And there's lots of controversy around what these phones will actually be. We're talking about potentially some kind of, you know, I get this naming convention thing now all wrong, because I thought it was going to be the XS Plus, but it's not going to be called that now. It's going to be called the XS Max.
Supposedly.
Ugh, terrible. I've got to say, XS Max, don't like it.
And that's the big one. That's going to be the big, big phone. There could be an XS, apparently, and then an XC. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's the latest rumour I'm reading today. Yeah, XC. Yeah, I don't know. Look, it's going to be a cheaper phone, your mainstream phone, and your really expensive phone. That's all you need to know.
Small, medium, and large. You got it.
So here's the question, right? Because my thing is, at the moment, two things are running through my mind, right? I will buy a new phone on one condition, and that is that the new XS Max, which cannot surely be the name of it.
I hope not.
No, I hope not as well. But if that is the name of it, whatever it is, if that's the big one, it needs to have one feature that will make me decide to buy it, and that is dual SIM. Because there's talk of it having dual SIM functionality, because China has a big influence in this market and a big influence on Apple. And dual SIMs are all the rage in China and in other parts of the world as well. Maybe not so much in the West, but the huge overseas. So I wonder if that will be a feature, and if it is, that's why I'll buy it. Is it likely, do you think, though?
I think it is. That's one of the newest rumors to actually come out of China, where they are manufacturing these phones. It was originally just a, well, parts of the world might get dual SIM, parts of the world that like that and they know they want to do it. But then it's come out, I think just in even the last week, that manufacturers in China are saying, no, this will be worldwide. All the new iPhones, I should say, would have dual SIM. If it does, I mean, I don't know that I personally have a use for it, but I know a lot of people like yourself and others that do. And I think it would be a smart move. I think this would be something that they could do and should and probably will do.
Yep. It's a particularly strong rumor. And I'm going to put my neck out and say, never going to happen. There. I've done it. Wow. That's my prediction. I think it will just be territory specific. So I think it will just be in China.
I don't disagree with you. I actually think it's probably more likely they won't do it at all, if I'm honest. I think it's one of those rumors that's kicking around. I think with Apple's ethos, though, if it was available, it would be available everywhere. So I think it's either all or nothing.
Yes.
And I don't know. It seems like an odd feature, I guess, for Apple. Although maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it seems like something that I think business users would want. It is something I like, but I realize that it's not the biggest feature that people are looking for when it comes to the new phone. That's a bit of a personal thing for me, but it does sound quite good. My thing, though, is I'm using the iPhone 7 Plus at the minute. That's my phone, and I'm thinking it's going to get a bit of a speed bump when iOS 12 comes out, which will probably be not far away from the launch date. I mean, that's going to be coming out soon. Usually, I'm trying to think, was it a couple of weeks after the event, usually?
About 1 week later. Should be 1 week.
Yeah? Right, okay. And when that comes out, I mean, I've seen a huge difference in my iPhone 6 Plus. So the 7 Plus is going to make a big difference as well. And I think iOS 12 is going to be a really nice operating system, which begs the question, do we even need to buy a new phone?
Ooh, now then, of course, no one needs to buy a new phone, but will it be sexy enough that we just want to buy a new phone? Who can tell? If it's just dual SIM that's bringing us in, then probably not. But, you know, the whole range now, including the iPad, if we do see an iPad, is going to be no home buttons and bezel-less, well, very small bezels. It's going to be the new iPhone X design across the line. So I think that will pull a lot of people in. We are very shallow.
Yes, I think that might be true. But I think as far as needing a new phone, I think the only people that really, in my opinion, that can consider that or should consider that is if you're still using maybe a 5S, maybe a 6 model.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, if you have a 6S or above, you're probably fine. If you're having any battery issues like I am with my iPhone 7, you can spend the £30 to get the new battery. And that can do a lot in addition to what iOS 12 is going to bring. And I've been running the beta of iOS 12 on my 7, and it's fantastic. The speed is really good. So it's the idea of, do I spend, you know, $30 or in your guys' case, you know, 30 quid for a new battery that with iOS 12, it makes it like it's a brand new phone and I can skip another year? Or do I say, well, I'm on contract anyway, I might as well just go ahead and get the newest phone because I can. I don't know. I'd almost rather skip a year. And as you guys know, get the Apple Watch this year, maybe a phone next year. But yeah, if you're at that low end, 5S, 6, maybe consider it. If you're above that, I don't know that you need to.
I completely agree with you, and I think the contract argument is going to be the winner here for a lot of people. That's going to be the decider.
Yeah.
It is for me, because I was thinking of not doing that this year. I thought I might not go down the contract route, get SIM only, and, you know, buy out a new phone. But the problem is the cost of these phones is so high that you think, do you know what, I might be better off. And a lot of companies now have noticed this. The provider that I use has come out with a new contract option where you can pay for the phone over 3 years. I think it's a bit cheeky, if I'm honest, because that's pushing you then to a 3-year contract. And obviously the cost of the phone is being swallowed over that period of time, which makes it cheaper to own, but you've got it for 3 years. And if you do decide to go down the route of a 1-year contract, you're going to pay through the nose for it. So, you know, I think it's a difficult one to decide. But I think my point is about the phone. I'll be interested to see what my iPhone 7 Plus is like after the upgrade, because I'm not using the screen as much, and I've been using screen cutting a lot more to sort of force myself to stop looking at the screen as much. I'm kind of thinking, well, why would I spend all that money on a fancy LED screen? I'm not even going to turn it on.
Yeah.
Seems a bit pointless. But again, it's that thing about, I think it's a very personal thing. And this is where I think visually impaired people tend to struggle a bit here. And it's difficult for us to advise, because I know people come to us for advice because we are sages. It's a thing, that's what they call us. And, you know...
Yeah, that's what they call
us. Yeah, something like that. But it's... We try and advise from our perspective on things because, you know, we are looking at it quite literally from a very different perspective. And I don't know if it's worth... I think the biggest excitement for me out of this announcement will be iOS 12. I think that's going to be the biggest thing to come out of this, in the sense of, if you've got an iPhone 6, well, yeah, okay, all right, well, let's say an iPhone 6. I've got an iPhone 6. iPhone 6, iPhone 7, I would not see a need for you to upgrade. If you're perfectly happy with the phone you've got, can't imagine a reason. The only reason I'm keen to upgrade is because I want a smaller phone. I find the 7 Plus too big, and if I'm not using the screen, I don't need a bigger phone. So I was even tempted to go out and get myself an iPhone 7 or an iPhone 8 before the announcement, but then I thought, that's just silly.
Yeah, that would just be ridiculous, yeah. Stephen. But no, I think you're right. For us, no, that's not entirely true. We still like the sleek design and, you know, the feel and smell of a new gadget.
Of course,
there's something
yeah.
about it. But shiny newness does sell. But
it's the cost.
Sounds like a singer from Eurovision. Shiny newness,
I love him. But no, I think it's more to do with the cost. I think because these phones are so expensive now, it's getting to the point where it's like, really, is it worth it? I mean, when your contract's bumped up to 70 quid a month, and you're thinking,
exactly,
this is getting a bit ridiculous, and I don't really use all the functions. Yes, Face ID is a nice feature to have. You know, some of the design is very nice, but I don't know. I'm a bit.
It needs that killer feature, doesn't it? It needs that feature where you go, yes, I actually want it. It's worth doing. And I don't know what that's going to be at the moment. It hasn't been Face ID for me. It hasn't been the new design. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure. iOS 12 will get on my case, the 6S anyway. So I can't think of the feature that I'm missing out on by not having the latest phone.
No, I feel the same.
Yeah, unless we're surprised this year, for me, iOS 12 is the big feature because of the bug fixes, the speed enhancements, you know, Siri shortcuts, all those things that we've talked about. So to me, that's the big feature. Yes, if you're someone who has some functional vision or usable vision and you want that better screen, you want the camera, you know, even with the iPhone 10 and whatever's going to come out, you know, this week, the camera is so much better than it has been. So I could see someone saying, well, I want it for that purpose, you know, for the screen, for the Face ID, because it is technically more secure than the thumbprint, the Touch ID, although Touch ID I think is easier to use, but it's not as secure as they say. But if you're wanting those things, then fine. If you've got the vision that you want and need those things. Otherwise, like you said, Stephen, if you're using screen curtain or primarily voiceover, you know, you may not care about the camera, you may not care about the screen, you may not even at that point care about Face ID. So if your phone is, you know, upgraded with iOS 12 and is that much faster and more functional and you're not having any battery issues, yeah, why do it at this point? I would wait another year. And like you said, the 3-year contract thing, I just read an article recently that said the average iPhone user upgrades about every 2.5 years. So 3 years really isn't out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably more common than we realize, you know, and
I think so.
Especially if, you know, you get to the end of your contract and they're offering you, because they will at the beginning, you'll probably find that there'll be a couple of offers on, a couple of deals on. Yeah, it's a difficult one. But, you know, it's one of those things, we'll talk about it in more detail because I do want to get into it probably next week once we know the facts of what we're seeing. But we can, and we know there's new phones coming out. We know there'll be new iPads as well, probably. We're also imagining an Apple Watch as well.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, oh, he's imagining. and quite right, Series 4 is going to have... there was a 45 millimeter screen versus 42 or 40 versus 38, something like that in terms of the size.
Like that, yep.
The actual size of the watch doesn't change. It's just the screen is bezel-less, which means they can fit more screen on it. There are rumours saying that the body of the watch will be a bit bigger and that will allow a bit more processor. The thing I'm looking for is better battery. I find the Apple Watch
battery, yep.
Pretty poor. You've got the Series 1. It will be dreadful. I'm imagining.
I can get through a whole day if I'm not doing lots of using certain things.
Don't look at it.
Yeah, if I don't look at it at all, No, those days where I might do some more exercising or walking and checking different things and notifications more, I can still burn through it, but I do get to the end of the day with some battery left. So it's not horrible, but I do still have to charge it every day. So yeah, if they can get that better where it's maybe give me a day and a half, maybe 2 days at least, that would be fantastic.
The thing for me with the Apple Watch is I've turned screen cutting on and I've noticed that's made a big difference to the battery. It doesn't die anywhere near as quickly. So that's a good thing. And I'll be honest, if you're using VoiceOver in the watch, and I can't imagine many partially sighted people, although I know a couple, I know a few friends of mine who use it with the larger text and can still be able to read it. A friend of mine's got albinism and he uses it quite reasonably. But I just can't. There's no way I can see the screen. So, you know, again, that's another thing for me. It's like, you know, why would I need to upgrade to Series 4? I mean, I probably will because I do quite fancy the new watch, actually. But for me, I just want, you know, I do want the latest one there, but the phone, I'm not so sure about. There are also rumours of an Air Power mat. This is basically the wireless charging mat that has never materialised. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit... the Air Power mat is the Orbit reader of the Braille world. You know, we've heard about it. They've talked about it lots. Yet to see it. But hopefully it will appear at the event, although I probably wouldn't buy it, if I'm honest.
Yes, not at the price point they're suggesting of £150.
Oh, come on.
I know, yeah, no.
Okay, well, look, we're not going to talk about Apple because we're going to do something special. Thursday... get my days mixed up here. Thursday on the Daily Connect, which is the other little show that I do here, you both will be joining me on the show. That's the big announcement. Yes, are you shocked?
Hang on, I thought that was the exciting news sound effect.
It's
not
both.
Shocked.
It does. It covers all bases. Well,
shocking, done. Exciting. Yeah, I'll do both.
So the shocking and exciting news is that Tim and Sean will be joining us on the show on the Daily Connect on Thursday, just after 10 o'clock, to talk about what has ever has been announced by Apple. So
in the morning?
Yes.
In the morning.
I'll try my best. I can't guarantee anything.
That is 5 a.m. for me, just remember.
Yeah, I know. I can't imagine what time of day that must be for you, Tim. Early o'clock.
Early o'clock, yeah.
That'll be a weekly wine for you for next week. Right, let's get on to we've got lots of news we can get to actually, but we'll first of all, I think dip into the emails.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Ding dong,
here's your mail today.
Yes, it's time once again for the emails, and we have got a bucket load to get through, and that's why I wanted to start them early on the show because we do get lots of your emails in. Thank you for that. Some of your emails are just fantastic. No, hang on a minute. Let me get this right. All of your emails are fantastic. Oh,
I
saved that one.
Yeah.
I saved that one, didn't I? Right, look, we don't do it ourselves here, as in, you know, we need the sighted guy to give us a hand. So Chris is back in the studio. Hi, Chris.
Well, hello, Tech Talkers. Yes, a real pleasure to be back on the show again.
Right, calm down. Let's get into the emails.
Chris.
No point lying. Right, let's get into the emails then, Chris, and we'll get started with the first one, which is from Ian.
And our first email is from Ian, who says, "Hello, I'm listening as I write to Stephen talking about his Sony TV. Uh-oh. A few months ago, we bought a Sony Bravia TV. I believe it was last year's model, but I can definitely assure you that it has both TalkBack from its Android system and also a Sony screen reader. It gives accessibility to many functions on the television. However, there is one major problem. We have not found a quick way of switching the accessibility features on and off. This is a big issue as my wife is sighted and doesn't require the accessibility features." And that's from Ian.
Oh, no, I can solve this for you, Ian, right away. You need to marry someone who's blind. It's the only way, frankly.
Oh, no.
You know, look, you have to because, quite frankly, my wife is visually impaired. So, you know, we can switch on these settings and leave them alone. I think, you know, a divorce is required here. It'll solve everything.
Can I just point out that Tech Talk isn't a relationship advice program, so please pay no attention to that man.
The opinions of Stephen Scott do not reflect Sean Preece or Tim Schwartz. Sean, please save us.
Or indeed humanity in general.
Yes.
No, I mean, look, in all seriousness, this is actually a problem, because how do you switch these settings on and off? There are lots of people in this situation. I actually think one of the most annoying things is that audio description isn't always... You can't detach audio description from the sound on the TV, like in the way in the cinema. You know, if you could have it in the way it's presented in the cinema, sometimes... you know, and be able to have the audio track separately, it means that your wife, in Ian's case, his wife is sighted, he would be able to listen to the audio track, get the audio description he wants, but then his wife doesn't have to put up with it.
What's there to put up with? It's no hassle. As I always tell my children, if you don't like it, get out. No.
The views of Sean Priest are not those of any, and family advice is not given in this programme.
I'm
clearly.
So sorry, Ian's wife.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but what's this show turning into?
Well, Stephen, it's interesting that he has accessibility options.
Yes, he does.
Even if he can't turn them on and off quickly, whereas you don't, and your TV is actually 2018.
Yeah, I think that's fake news, if I'm honest. I think my TV has been lying since the day it got here, or it says 2016 on it, and I just can't make it out. But no, I don't know. It is a 2018 model, but the model I have does not run Android. And there were two versions of TVs I could buy, and I chose the one without Android.
Of course you did.
Which was rather stupid. But yeah, so that's kind of the reason for it. So yeah, the Android TVs do have some kind of screen reader in them. Ian, I'd love to hear more from you about what you think of that audio, so that guide or that, whatever you call it, voice guide software. You know, is it functional? Is it usable? I mean, it certainly isn't when your wife turns it off, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to hear more on that. But yes, my TV stupid thing. You know, I was cornered the other week. A guy who works in the office beside us here at RNIB sort of cornered me the other day and said, "Ha ha ha! Yeah, well done, we're getting that new TV. Inaccessible garbage." So thanks, John, for that. Yes,
lovely support at work.
Yeah,
there. I will say it'd be interesting if anyone out there does have a Sony TV and they do know of a way to quickly turn off or on accessibility, then let us know.
Yeah, won't be an easy way though. Bet any money it's difficult, because you'll have to go into the settings to turn it on. That's the case on any TV I've noticed. You have to go into the settings to find it, then turn it on. So Ian's wife can do that for him. But she turns it off and, you know, goes out for the night, and then that's it.
And if that's the case, that's so ridiculous. It should be just something as simple as a couple of commands on the remote control or something. That's so silly if you have to go in and do it, because that breaks the accessibility of it.
And on the Samsung ones, that's exactly the point they make. There is a just press this button, arrow down once, press enter, and you've got accessibility on or off. Mm. So,
well, I'm in the market for a new TV, so it's going to be Samsung, it sounds like, for me.
Well, let's go to our next email then, because I think this will be up your street, guys. Right, let's get the next email, Chris.
Right, our next email comes from Luke, who says, "Hi, Steve, Tim and Sean. I hope that you're doing well. This is in response to your piece on smart TVs. I have one of the Samsung Smart TVs 6000 series, and I just wanted to let you know that you are in fact correct, that you at the moment can't actually use most of the inbuilt Smart TV apps with their screen reader service, and that you can press up and watch a few of the latest and most watched shows from BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5 and more, but strangely both the Netflix and YouTube apps are totally usable, if a little clunky. You can also use the TV to surf the internet, which again is fully accessible.
Wow.
The TV will also read out which channel you're watching, including the name of the channel and what you're watching, what is on next and what is on later, with specific times. This may not be relevant for anyone who uses another TV service, as it only does it for the inbuilt tuner. But for me, it's perfectly fine, as I have recently removed my Sky Plus subscription and just rely on the apps from my Apple TV. Also, I'm not sure if Tim does sound like Boo Boo, but for some strange reason, Sean does seem to sound remarkably like the guy from the Nespresso advert. I hope you're all doing well, and keep up the great show."
Okay, thanks for that, Chris. What?
Hang on, what advert? I don't know this advert.
I don't know the advert, and I thought I sounded like Yogi Bear, not Boo Boo.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Hey, Boo Boo.
And you definitely sound like Yogi Bear.
I don't know, I'm hitting Boo Boo, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Okay, Yogi.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty good, actually. That wasn't bad.
Hey, Boo Boo.
Right,
yep.
We're going to get into copyright territory now.
Show.
Calm down.
That's it.
Right, look.
That's all I got.
I Sorry, I'm stuck on the boo-boo thing. So the Samsung TV, I think, is definitely the most accessible out of the lot.
It sounds like
But it is interesting, isn't it, that some of the apps are accessible. Browsing the web is accessible? That's impressive.
It is.
I guess it should be, arguably, but I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't use a TV to browse the web, though, but good on you, Luke, if you're using it that way. I don't know what you would be using it for, but...
Oh, come on now, let's not put him down here. He made the right choice, you made the wrong one. It's as simple as
you're
that.
You're just jealous and
yeah,
bitter.
Yeah, just a bit. No, I'm happy with my TV. I'm happy with my inaccessible TV, my inaccessible huge television. It's accessible in the sense of it's big. That's kind of it, really. Right. And as for the Nespresso ad, is that not George Clooney?
Oh, no, he's spot on then. Yeah, that's right. I sound and look exactly like George Fake Clooney. News. Thank you very much.
No, that's clearly not. I think he might be a Cookie Monster or something that's going to be guessing it or something. Right, moving on. Next email from Chris. What else have you got there, Chris?
Okay, next email is from Nadia, who says, "Hi, guys. I have a bit of a problem, and I was wondering if I could pick your brains.
Uh-oh.
I'm an author, and I used to write by touch typing. I then get JAWS to read back what I've written so I can edit my work. However, because of back and neck problems, I can no longer touch type for long periods of time, so I was forced to find another solution. I thought I'd found it with Dragon Naturally Speaking software, as it meant I could speak into a headset and the words would appear on the screen without me having to touch a keyboard. However, Dragon causes many more problems than it solves. It constantly gets words that sound the same mixed up, so anything I write is full of context errors, and as JAWS will also pronounce them the same, I have no way of knowing without doing a find and replace, which takes forever. I did consider trying a Braille display, but as I've tried every variety of keyboard and still had a problem typing, I wasn't convinced a Braille display would solve the issue. I might have risked it if the price was lower. However, the prospect of writing another book using Dragon fills me with dismay. Do you know of any similar software to Dragon that is much cleverer and is much better able to work out what you're actually trying to write? I've looked into getting other software that can check your documents for grammar or context errors, but nothing is accessible with screen readers, with the exception of Word, which is very limited. Hope you're all well, and that's from Nadia.
Mm. Wow, that's a tricky one. I will say that Dragon Naturally Dictate is usually top when it comes to anything like this, but things have moved on. Dragon's been around for ages. I remember using it 20 years ago, and back then it was impressive for the time. But now voice recognition has caught up, but in your case, Nadia, I don't know. I think you're going to have these same sort of problems no matter what you use. I will say Windows has its own speech recognition built in. If you hit the start menu and just type speech recognition, it will come up and you can train it. It is accessible. It's a bit tricky because you've got to read out passages while listening to the screen reader read it out and then you read it out, so it's all a little bit messy, but you can get through it. But again, speech recognition, voice recognition, it's at a certain level and they're all about the same, I would say. So it is a tricky one. I think probably in your case it may be worth checking out a Braille display and see if that does help you.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, Sean, because I don't know that there is a program more clever, as she put it, than Dragon Naturally Speaking. It is usually the top program. I know when I worked for the government here for a while in the States, there were people that would use Dragon Naturally Speaking there because it was the go-to program. Anything better or more clever than that? I just don't know. Like you said, maybe give a try to the built-in Microsoft software. Maybe, you know, Braille screen input, like you said. If Nadia's got an iPhone or an iPad, maybe try Braille screen input on that so you can type on there and then send it over to your PC. Maybe even an app like FlickType, you know, is something that could be used as well to type faster and easier, you know, in the palm of your hand. So that could be an option as well. But yeah, something better than Dragon. I don't know that there's something that exists.
Did you work for Barack Obama? Did you work for the Obama administration?
I know. Government spy.
I did not work. Well, actually, technically, now that you say that, yes, technically it was executive branch. So technically, Barack Obama would have been my boss. Yes.
Wow. Was he as dreamy as he looks?
I actually met him 2 days before he was elected president in 2008.
No way.
I could not see him very well. I could sort of see at that point. I had some vision. I was more interested in seeing his wife, who came up to me first before I met him.
Oh, yeah.
Sexist.
And no, well, she was very lovely and very kind. And but yes, they were actually both very nice, so. That's awesome.
Did they keep in touch?
I wish.
We don't know what to say to that.
I wish
that's amazing. How did he smell?
It was a very hot, hot summer day. I don't know how he smelled.
Oof, okay.
Oh, right. Again, okay, I was still more taken with Michelle than I was with Barack.
Oh, stop it.
Disgusting.
Anyway, back to the email.
Sorry, Nadia. Back to the point. Yeah, Dragon, I'll be honest, guys, I've heard lots of people, Jonathan Mosen, for one, who writes a lot of books himself, as you probably know, and he always talks about Dragon as the one to use. I don't know if it's... Do you know, Nadia, I'm going to say this because I do this all the time. I start using a program. These guys know this only too well. I start using something, and it's like I get maybe 5% of knowledge about the program, and something goes wrong, and I'm like, it's all rubbish, I hate it, I'm never using it again. It's the worst program ever. And then what I do is I learn over the months how to do it, and then what do? I come in and I go, guys, it's the most amazing program, you should try this. So I wonder if it's just a bit of that going on with you, and I'm not assuming, but I don't know. But if it's anything, if you're anything like me, Nadia, and, you know, hopefully for you, I'm not, you're not, then... You know, it might just be a case of a bit more time spent with it might help. I don't know. But you know, surely if it is the best one, as they say it is, and I don't know if there's different versions that are better than others, maybe that's the issue. I don't know. Maybe it's a case of there's an upgrade that will make it all better. Because I've heard Nadia speak. She's been on the show before, and I know what you sound like, Nadia. You've got a beautiful voice, very clear. So, you know, I can't understand. I would have be amazed if it didn't understand what you were saying. So I think it might just be about the program itself being set up in a new way, maybe more training with it. I don't know.
Training is a key for a program like that. The more training you do, the better it's going to react and understand. So I'm sure she's done some training, but you know, if she hasn't done enough, maybe, or do some more, that could be a help.
And of course, there's a frustration with doing all that, isn't it? I mean, it's time consuming. But you know, at the same time, if you want a program to do the job it needs to do, then I suppose you have to go through all that. But you know, let us know how you got on. And I would stick with Dragon because I don't know of anything else that's as good as that. And I've watched a couple of online conversations on Twitter and Facebook, people asking exactly the same question you're asking. And the answer that always comes back is just stick with Dragon. Just stick with Dragon. So, you know, but listen, our listeners are wonderful. They'll tell you. So, you know, if you've got any experience of this, then, you know, do get in touch. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. And best of luck with that, Nadia. I hope you get it sorted. But let us know if you get it sorted, let us know. And also, if you don't or you find something better, tell us as well so we can share it with the group. Right, let's move on to another email, Chris.
Okay, a short one next from Alan, who says, hi, it's Alan McDonald. I was listening to the show today and I heard you talking about inaccessible websites, and EDF Energies is one of them. So I found out that there is an EDF Energy skill, and if you're with them, all you do is link your online account in the skill and you can check your account balance and when the contract ends and when the payment is due by a voice through Lady A. That's from Alan.
Oh, through the Amazon Echo, you can get your EDF Energy bill. That's quite good, actually. That's quite nice. I mean, it'd be nice if they made the website accessible.
Yes.
But in lieu of that, you know, that's one way of doing it. Are we impressed by this?
Of course. More companies need to do this. I wish mine did it, because it's such a hassle doing it through the app, which is sometimes accessible, mostly not when they do an update and some information is. It's just so annoying. So smart speaker skill sounds fantastic.
Yeah, more and more companies seem to be going this way, and I think it is fantastic. I think it's nice to be able to log into that account and just ask Lady A, you know, those different questions, you know, about, you know, your bill or statement or whatever it is, and get that information, you know, from whatever kind of company it is. So yeah, I hope more and more companies do this.
I mean, it seems to be, I don't know if you saw this story this week about Argos, which is the catalogue company in the UK, and they are now bringing out, and I was quite excited about this, Sean wasn't. But then Sean's excited about nothing.
No, I usually am excited.
Lamb chops.
Well, let's hear the story and then.
Yeah, so thank you. So essentially, Argos have brought out this feature on the Google Home where you can ask Google Home to get reservations for products in store. So instead of having to sort of sift through the catalogue online, you can have the Google Home read back to you product descriptions, information, and then even reserve the item at your local store. I thought this is quite good, but Sean disagrees.
No. If I've got to leave the house for anything, then it's a failure in my eyes. I think, look, you'd still need to go to the store. So for me, pointless. Make it a delivery service, then I'm all in.
Hmm. Anything like that with you, Tim? Have you tried anything? Have you been able, because I know that the Amazon Echo does allow you to shop. I've never used it for that. In fact, interestingly, the statistics that go with this say that people aren't using them for shopping. I think it's because I just have this fear of asking it for something, it gets it all wrong and sends me 100,000 toilet rolls instead of, you know, a packet of batteries, which is what I asked it for.
I know there are a lot of skills that do this with Amazon Echo and things you can set up to do that. I've actually, I have the shopping with my Amazon Echo kind of on and kind of off. So what I mean by that is I can add things to my cart if I want to. I can ask it about products and get information, but it won't actually purchase it until I go into the app and tell it to actually, you know, proceed through the checkout and purchase whatever I put in my cart. So I've purposely done that. I've put a passcode on it so that, you know, we can't have anything accidentally shipped like that. And I think it's just a good precaution to take, especially when you have a 6-year-old in the house that likes to talk to the Amazon Echo. I've heard too many of those stories where, you know, toys and dollhouses and things show up at the house. Not that she would do that, of course, but anyway, I haven't personally used a lot of apps that do this, but I like the idea of being able to set up an appointment or get a reservation using an app, or especially a skill with the Amazon Echo. If I can just verbally say, or you know, I've done it in the past with apps. We have an app, I think it's available in UK, I'm not sure, but Open Table, where you can do a dinner reservation with a restaurant, or you know, things like that, where you can order things, you know, or make reservations at places. I'd like to be able to do that so I don't show up at the place and find out there's an hour wait and I went there for nothing to stand in line for an hour. If I can make an appointment online or through an app or with Amazon Echo before leaving and know what time that appointment is or that reservation time is and be able to talk to somebody without having to wait and waste my time, I think that's fine. There are times, Sean, where you have to leave the house. Sometimes it just is necessary to leave the house.
Fake news.
You can't have everything, lamb chops and ice cream and et cetera, delivered to the house. Sometimes you have to leave.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't agree. I've got to say, look, the Amazon Echo is the shopping skill, which is built in and on by default, works really well. I use it all the time for getting, you know, razor blades and shampoo or whatever. I actually ordered a Dot for my next door neighbor last week just by asking my Dot to order it, gave it my code, it came the next day. Beautiful.
Well, I agree with Tim. I think you've got to leave the house from time to time, but I actually think this is half the problem with this technology, that it kind of in some ways isolates us even more. You know, we talk a lot about isolation and among people who are blind.
Well, I mean, I'm just serious.
No. Okay, look, I am joking slightly about leaving the house. It just makes it easier. I mean, you know, this is the whole point of online shopping. Yes, it's killing the high street, but there's a reason for that. It's more convenient. People like it. It works better. It fits in with our lives. It's fantastic. The high street needs to change.
And I don't disagree with that at all. I think being able to order things on Amazon, just like you described, is fantastic. And I think people should not be afraid to use that if you've set it up properly, like you said, putting in the code and having it come the next day and all that. I think it's a great service and people should use that when they can. But there are those times where that may not be the best option, or that you need to go to a store to look at something or to get questions, you know, in person. It does happen.
And what do? You go to the store, look at it, then order it online.
Well, I have to say, I do that.
Well, that's true.
Right, anyway,
you scan it with Amazon and then just have it ordered and go home. That's true. Yeah.
I have to say, if you do that in an electronics store, they will throw you out. I've had this experience where they get very annoyed when you say, when you clearly you're scanning.
Oh, look, I can get that cheaper online. Hey.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
And I'm the first one that tries to stand up to defend these places, and it's like, you know, we must keep these shops open. I'm not buying anything from it, but I want to go in there and look at stuff and then buy elsewhere. Right, anyway, let's move on to another email. Chris, if you will.
Okay, our next one from Jules, who says, hello, Tech Talk team. Following Tuesday's programme, I decided to try MMS Pro, as recommended by one of the emails. Unfortunately, I cannot find an app of that precise name in the Play Store, and there are so many of a similar name that it is not feasible to check them all. Do you know the name of the app developer, or perhaps the name of another app of theirs, so that I can backtrack from one to another? And that's from Gillian.
Well, yes, that was from Keith, who emailed in last week and told us about MMS Pro. And like you, Jules, I was very excited by this because I thought, oh, finally a way to, you know, dictate my messages into Android, because that's been one of the key problems I've had with Android, is the typing aspect of it. Well, I got in touch with Keith in advance of this because I thought, let's find out the answer to this. Keith has come back to say, hi, Stephen, I'm sorry to say that the app seems to have been taken off the Play Store. When I went to look it up for you to give you more details, it wasn't there. And when I tried to link from the app, it said that it couldn't be found. The app still works on two of my phones, so I was very shocked to find that it's not available anymore. He says, I'm very sorry for getting your hopes up. I should have checked. So sorry for messing you and others about. Might be worth trying some of the others, though. Kind regards and looking forward to your next show, Keith. Well, it's not your fault, Keith. But, you know, thank you for getting back in touch and telling us that, because, yeah, it did sound like a really good app. I wonder why it's gone, you know? I wonder what would have happened there, but...
It's Android.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Android.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's a shame, but sorry, Jules. But, you know, we've got the answer now, and that's the important thing. So thank you, Keith, for getting back in touch with that. Let's move on to another email then. I feel all disappointed now. Right, let's get another one, Chris.
So moving on to an email from Rod, who says, hi, Stephen. You can download the Bosch Home Connect app and try it out in demo mode. All seems to be accessible. Surprise, surprise.
Ooh.
Home Connect appears to be used by some other brands too. Bosch appears to have products already out there which can function with the app. Cheers. And that's from Rod Carney.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's Rod Carney, actually. But thank you for that, Chris. Just to say, this is about the Bosch Connect app, the Home Connect app that they announced at IFA 2018 in Berlin, the technology exhibition. And it was suggested that this would be a great way for us to use, well, I suggested actually, a great way for people to use white goods, you know, so dishwasher, oven, all can be controlled through the Home Connect app. I didn't know if it was particularly accessible. I thought it probably wouldn't be. And there you go. Rod tells us it is. Hoorah!
Well done, Rod. Why didn't we do that? Why didn't we test it, Stephen? Well, or more specifically, why didn't you?
Why would I, when I have a wonderful team of people out there who are just on the case, you know?
Good answer.
It's called delegation, guys. It's called delegation. You'll learn it at some point.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah, thanks for that.
But that's good. You know, actually, you know, we're kind of not making enough out of that. That's pretty big. If that app is accessible now, that means those white goods... I mean, that's the app accessible at this point. It's interesting. He says that it works with some other products already, so that means it's coming soon, which is good, or it's available in some areas as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested to check out this app because I wish this actually had just been announced a week sooner, because we just purchased a Bosch dishwasher and I have no clue if it's going to be accessible with this app or not. If I had known, I would have made sure to get one that would be accessible with this app. So I'm hoping that it's something that is built in already to that dishwasher and can be used. But if not, I'll keep it in mind, you know, for the future. But I think apps like this are fantastic, especially being accessible and being able to utilize our white goods that way. I really like this.
Yeah, you should have come to me for advice, because you know me, I often get so successful when it comes to buying the latest accessible products.
Oh, yeah, the latest accessible products. Yep, that's
two
you,
for
Stephen.
Two.
Mm-hmm. Right, listen, we talked about TV earlier, and since I am talking about my inaccessible television, Gordon Anthony's been in touch and he wanted to share some news about Sky Q. I'd mentioned last week that one of the features I use in Sky Q is the voice search function. Now, it doesn't make the product any more accessible, really, but it does let you change channel. It does let you... what else can it let you do? It can let you play programs that have been recorded. So if you know something has been recorded or downloaded, you can then play that program. It does let you search for things as well. So if you know there's a film on there you want to watch, you can just say play it and it'll go off and do that. or I'll find it for you. So it's got some use, but of course the problem is it's, you switch it on at first and you don't really have much access. You don't know what's on as well, you know, so these aren't great things. And one of the great things for a long time with Sky was the app that that you got with Sky, especially Sky Plus, had a brilliant app. Sky Q was less great, because the problem with Sky Q's app was that the way Sky Q works is it kind of controls a number of boxes. You know, Sky Q is like a system, whereas Sky Plus was an individual box. And if you wanted to download something to a box, you could do that. If you wanted to play it, you could do that. If you wanted to change the channel in the box, you could use the app. So actually, the old system was more accessible than the current one. But Gordon Anthony's got a bit of an update for us in regards to that app itself.
Hi, Tech Talkers. I was very pleased to hear Stephen mention that my previous note to you on Sky and Sky Q accessibility had helped. I've got a wee update for you, although by the time I finish this, I think I could be taking over the mantle of Victor Meldrew from Stephen. There was an update to the Sky Q app a little while ago. Now, I'm completely blind. I use the app on my iPhone. It's not wonderful, but I can get by. The first thing, however, I discovered was that the menu activation button, which you have to press before any of the options will work, has been renamed. For some reason best known to Sky, it has been renamed as Fast Forward. So if you want to use your Sky Q app and get anything to work, like the TV guide or go into your recordings, you have to press Fast Forward first. Once you get over that hurdle, my next task was to record a programme. Now, I actually wanted to record a series. And I went into the TV guide, I found the first programme in the series, and I went to record it. Now, there used to be two buttons. One was called Record Once, the other was Record Series. Nice and simple. Now, there is only one button, and it's titled Record. So I pressed it, and nothing happened. I pressed it again and still nothing happened. And I must have pressed that button a dozen or so times and nothing happened. Eventually I gave up and asked for sighted help. And then I discovered that something was apparently happening. What was happening was that a pop-up window was appearing at the bottom of my phone's screen. And this pop-up window contained the Record Once and Record Series buttons. But of course, the phone's focus wasn't switching to the pop-up, so I had no idea it was there at all. I could have been there all day trying to find it. So what you do is you press record, and then you have to find the pop-up window, which isn't as easy as it sounds. If you touch your screen in the wrong place, the pop-up window will disappear. If you don't touch it quickly enough, it will disappear. So it takes a little bit of practice of getting used to pressing record and then getting your finger in the right place on the screen to locate this pop-up window. Then you can record your program. So I did eventually manage that. The other thing which seems to have changed is that if you are playing back a recording on your iPhone, now I do this sometimes if I don't need the audio description track because the AD does not feed through onto the iPhone, but if folk are watching something on TV and I've got a recording of a quiz show or something like that that doesn't require AD, I'll sometimes listen to it on my phone. So again, you can go into it, no problem, get it to play. The problem now is once it plays, the playback seems to take over the entire screen, and there is no way that I have found yet of pausing, fast forward, rewind, or anything at all. You start the recording, it will play all the way through, as if you are watching live TV, which may not be a hardship, but it is sometimes handy to have some buttons, even just to pause the thing for a little while. But the only way I've found so far to do this is to actually shut down the app, go back into it, start all over again, and pick up from where I left off. I have written a letter to Sky, a fairly lengthy letter, it must be said, to Sky, pointing out these and one or two other continuing gripes about Sky Q, which they haven't addressed since the last time I spoke to them, and I await their response. When I hear anything, I will let you know. Anyway, happy TV watching, and back to my inaccessible Sky Q now. Cheers.
Wow, Gordon, thank you for such detail in that message that you sent in to us by email. You know, it is appalling that we're in this situation in 2018. And I say this, I feel like I say it every week. But, you know, here we are again in a situation where this is a new system, which the old system was better. The old system worked. Well, it worked for us. And who cares about that, really, I guess. But, you know, for us it worked. And, you know, now we have this new system, which is, you know, arguably better because of the way it does things. But, you know, to do, I mean, that recording system, that's just ridiculous. I've noticed this. I have noticed this. But I don't use the app much anymore because I don't really trust what it's doing. And I can't be guaranteed. Because one of the problems is I used large text for a long time and I thought that would help. But when it's large text on that app, it is so big that all the text overlaps each other. So you can't read anything.
It's unreadable anyway.
See, and you can't listen to it because the way the menu system lays things out, it doesn't really make it any clearer. So it's kind of useless in that regard.
Oh, I can't hold it in any longer. I'm sorry, Stephen. This is disgusting and terrible and ridiculous. Someone as big as Sky, this needs to be accessible. There is absolutely no reason this app isn't accessible other than sloppiness. Why is this still in this state now? It blows my mind. Absolutely, perfectly reasonable to expect this to be accessible, and for some reason it isn't. Well done to Gordon for writing that lengthy letter. I hope there was some strong words in there, because I am sick of this situation now. There is absolutely no reason. I was going to pick you up on it, Stephen, where you said the Sky Plus was great and the Sky Q app is less great. Well, no, it's not less great. It's terrible. There is no reason for this. It's a disgrace. Thank you.
Whew. Well, sorry. Get that off your chest. You feel better now?
Wow. Yeah.
No, I actually don't. I still want to shout about this. It's a disgrace.
Right, get over it.
I don't know what else to say.
We've not got a lot of time left, but I want to say this, that, you know, we will follow this up with Sky ourselves. I'm going to send Gordon's comments to Sky as well, and we'll see what response we get back. And maybe we'll leave yours out. but, you know, for people who are paying for this, and it's not cheap, it's not a cheap service by any stretch of the imagination, you know, at the very least I'd expect it to be accessible. And it's kind of annoying, I guess, when you see adverts on there promoting audio description and telling us, you know, how great it is to make TV more accessible.
Yes.
But you can't actually get to the menu or find the programs or record them. So lots to come out of that. But you know what? I will say this, and it's the only thing I'll say in fairness to Sky. They're not the only ones. Virgin's the same and Freeview's the same. You know, except on televisions that have got... And this is the interesting thing. The only way you can get Freeview television accessible is by buying a Samsung, a Sony, or an LG, or a Panasonic television.
Some Sony.
That's got the voice guidance built in. Anyway, look, let's move on to another email, because time is upon us. Chris, if you will.
This one's from John, who says, "Dear Tech Talk team, having been visually impaired for about 18 months now, I recently started listening to your podcast, and as a bit of a geek, it's been a revelation.
Ooh,
I have a couple of questions, please, that maybe you can help with. The first is a problem with the speak screen function on iOS, the two-finger swipe down. It doesn't work properly on the Times app, but does on others. It reads the first paragraph and then skips to the end and stops. I've done the obvious things like updating the OS and reinstalling the app, but to no avail, and the Times support haven't been able to help. Any ideas? The other question I had was about dictation software. I've used Dragon before, but it's expensive, and wondered if there is any free software available to our community. For example, I know that if I wanted a screen reader, NVDA is a free download. I haven't tried this yet, but will do so soon. Did I hear about a problem with the new version? Any help on these two things would be really appreciated, and I look forward to hearing more of your great banter and tech talk on the next episode. Many thanks from John."
Okay, well, look, quickly, let me answer that question about the Times, because I think I might know what's going on here. If you aren't subscribed, and I'm assuming you're not, if you're not subscribed to the Times, then all you will get is the first paragraph, and then that's it. It'll just move on, because essentially you're only getting that before you subscribe. If you're subscribed and you're still getting that, then the Times need to sort that out, because I have had this before where it'll read maybe a paragraph of the story, and then you'll get a button that says read the whole story, and then you've got to subscribe to get the whole story. This is because now they're putting news behind paywalls. So that could be why you're getting that. John, good to have you all along for the ride. Hope you're enjoying it. It sounds like you are. And, you know, hey, we are a revelation. We're a revelation, guys. Right.
You didn't say what the revelation was.
No,
I wouldn't,
no,
a bad
no
thing.
One's saying what it is.
Yeah, but, really.
Right, look, one final email, Chris, if you will.
Right, a great one now from Lee, who says, tech poem. Stephen Scott is all we've got. He's the captain of our ship. He steers us through all sorts of things on our weekly trip. He adjusts his naval sequin before he grips the mic. Oof. A soft shoe shuffle and a song. Well, you know what he's like. A guru or a hobbyist, Sean is a guess. Better leave it there, I think, in case you suggest less. He's there each week to jest and keep Stephen in his place. It doesn't always work, of course. Sad, but that's the case. Tim watches over both. His info's always good. A real pro, although, you know, he can throw his share of mud. His steady stance keeps a dance. He stays above it all. If he weren't there, you'd barely stop it going to the wall. Without these three, you'll agree we wouldn't have a show. So let's celebrate each one of them, or we'd never know what to buy, or who to ask, or which one we should choose. Our Tech Talk team is the best, you know. They give us all the clues. Let's haul our heroes to the sky, perhaps Sir Stephen Scott. Sir Guru Priest, awards for Tim, or is that Tommy Rot? Best meet them in the boozer after their show is done. After their malarkey, after all the fun. A pint for every verse, they said, and make it sound real good. Now ask your gadget for a cab, we're off, ta! See your bud. And that poem is from Bill the Shack.
Wow.
Well done.
Well done.
Very good.
Well
very
done, good. Amazing. Especially my part. That was amazing.
Of course.
That was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, I will say this. I don't know if I'm going by screen reader here, so I apologize. I think we called you Lee and Bill at the same time. I hope one of them's right, because that's what I was picking up from my screen reader, so I apologize in advance. But thank you so much for writing in that poem. That was really good, actually.
It was really good.
Listen, that is it for our show this week. We are back with the Daily Connect. These guys will be back with me on 10 till 12 on Thursday. Following the Apple event, so check us out from there, and we'll, of course we'll talk more about Apple and the big announcement. Just final thing to say though, October the 9th I think is the date in the diary for Google's big event,
the Pixel 3.
Ooh, Pixel yeah. 3, and no doubt some new hardware as well coming soon, so looking forward to that as well. It's another date for the diary, and Amazon no doubt will drop something soon as well. Well, not literally obviously, but they will have something coming. So we'll look forward to that. In the meantime, though, keep checking out the podcast. And you know what? Thank you so much for all your emails, because we really do appreciate them. We will hear more from you on next week's show. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk is the email address. And we're on Twitter as well. Find us there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.